to do something a little bit different this morning, and we're going to kind of play with this chapter a little bit, because that's what poetry is kind of here for, to play with and speak to us in a different way than prose does. Poetry does something that prose can't do. So this week I have been reading a lot of poetry by the 17th century poet John Donne. And I don't know if anybody knows his story. He's kind of like Aretha Franklin, just a few centuries earlier. He had kind of a wild young adulthood. He had lots of mistresses, and he wrote lots of erotic love poems about his mistresses. And then finally, he fell in love and then wrote love poems for his wife. And so he has kind of some amusing poems where he plays a lot with metaphors. So in one poem called The Flea, he speaks about how he's been bitten by the flea and his mistress has been bitten by the flea, and their blood has already like commingled through the flea. So, like, you know, they should just have sex. So he writes poems like that. And then he kind of stumbles upon God later life. We're not sure exactly at what point he seems to have come into relationship with God, but then he uses the same ability he has for images and metaphors to speak about God. And sometimes he speaks about God in kind of an erotic, romantic way. And so this line is kind of his famous line from one of his poems. He says, "Batter my heart, three-person God for you." So we are going to be looking at a little bit of his poems today as well. As we look into the Song of Songs, and remember, we're trying to look at what is this saying about our relationship with God, and what is this song saying about our relationship with one another. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we want once again to commit this time to you. We ask that your spirit would be with us, helping us to hear your voice, to hear what you want us to learn from these words today. May these words continue to shape us into your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. That's how she thought of herself. That's how he had described her, like a lily among the thorns. She was his darling. Out of all the women, he chose her. He loved her and she loved him. When did it change and how did she miss it? It's New Year's Day and she can't get out of bed. She tells her family she is sick and they, for the most part, believe her. And she lies there in the darkness, staring at the roses in the vase as they dry and shrivel. She lies there in the darkness and watches as the wedding photos get packed away and taken down. She slips off her wedding ring and places it in the jewelry box, muffles her cries underneath the pillow. And then finally, eventually, she gets up and pretends like everything is normal. She tries to eat. She bites into an apple, but has to spit it out. It's rotten to its core. She chucks it away. It just confirms what she already thought. What's the point of eating? What's the point of eating when all the trees outside are stripped bare of their leaves, as if all of life is being drained away? There's a bushfire on the other side of the valley. Black smoke streaks the sky. It makes it hard to breathe. It's hot outside, but even then she feels cold. She just wants to go back and lie in her bed. But there's the children to think about. So she cooks and she cleans and goes through the motions. And as the days tick by, the silence in the house grows until even the kids begin to start whispering and lowering their voices, muffled behind closed doors. Maybe they've noticed the blankets on the couch. That's where he's sleeping for the moment anyway. She finds herself staring at this man that she has spent decades loving. And even though he's right across from her at the table, it's like she doesn't quite recognize him anymore. He doesn't love her. He has fallen out of love with her. There is another person he loves. That's what he said. The banner of love has fallen. She is faint with despair. She rings up her best friend and tells her between the sobs, "Look, listen, my lover, my husband, he's gone. There he is, climbing into the taxi, driving up the hill and away. He's leaving. Look." She stands at the window, peering through the curtains, watching him disappear. This is it then. How happens? I'm a flower of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. There are some people who say that the world is this cold and pitiless place, indifferent to us as we are indifferent to it. You marry, don't marry, stay together, break up, divorce, remarry, it doesn't really matter. There is no God. There is no meaning or purpose to our existence. We just are until we're not. Flowers are nothing more than reproductive structures of a particular plant. And you eat apples because they fuel your body. Things taste sweet, so you'll be attracted to eating them, so you'll get more energy. We eat because we have to, so we keep on living. That's all eating is for. Love is nothing more than neurochemicals in your brain. People don't actually faint with love, nor do lovers literally bound over hills and leap over mountains. Poetry is pointless. That's what some people say. And sometimes that's how it feels. Because friendships grow cold and marriages die and people break up. And sometimes you find yourself trapped by decisions you've made or by circumstances outside of your control. And it's all so unremarkable. And you think, this is it then, just the way the world works. You can be close to someone and then not close. You can hurt and be hurt. You can feel close to God and then not so close. And the songs you used to sing in church can start to taste bitter on your tongue. Look, listen, God is gone. He's disappeared. He's bounded over the hills and leaped over those mountains. The sun is spent. And the light squibs shine forth. There's no constant rays. The world's whole sap is sunk. The rose bushes have nothing but thorns left. The trees have been stripped bare of their leaves until all that is left is a cold, cold wind that blows. As winter takes up permanent residence. And you think maybe they're right. As you stand there, and stand there until shards of ice form in your hair and your lips turn blue. Maybe they are right. Maybe the world is nothing but a cold and pitiless place, indifferent to us as we are indifferent to it. This is it then, just the way the world works. And yet, I am a flower of Sharon, a lily in the valley. There are other people who say that the world is not a cold and pitiless place, but a cosmos, that there is a God who sings, and when God sings, life springs forth. There's a God who creates the roses and the apples and who delights in this world, who created us out of sheer love, who invites us to walk beside him, to sit in his shade, taste and see that God is good. His banner over us is love. He is preparing a feast for us. And yes, maybe we don't always see that, because there are foxes, little foxes running around ruining vineyards. There is hatred and chaos and heartbreak. There is winter and the deep sleep of death. But the good news, according to the Bible, said in both prose and poetry, is that God has crossed the distance that separates us, that God became one of us, lived among us, loved. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped the ears of the deaf. The lame leap like deer. The mute shout for joy. There is feasting. There is wine spilling out of water jars. There is life, abundant life. And yet, our hearts remain cold. And yet we see this God and our response is to string him up on a cross. And darkness covers the land. And those who believed for a moment in God and love and something new breaking into the world, as they see this man hung on a cross, feel foolish. Of course, the world is a pitiless and cold place. This is it then. God, dead, gone. Jesus, dead, gone. His lips turning blue. And yet, look, listen, see, Jesus rose from the dead. The winter has passed. And with Jesus comes resurrection. The rains come and flowers appear on the earth. The sound of doves can be heard cooing in the land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. Blossoming vines spread their fragrance. The parched lands and deserts rejoice. The deserts are glad and blossom. Arise, my beloved. Why does he say arise? Why does he say hasten? For you I have endured the raging storm. I have borne the waves that would have afflicted you. Out of your account, my soul became sorrowful even unto death. I rose from the dead, loosening the bonds of Hades, taking out the sting of death. Therefore, I say to you, arise and experience resurrection. The world does indeed rest on love. There is a God who loves. Can you feel it now? Can you feel your hearts beginning to warm? Can you see the breaking of winter? Come and abide with Jesus. Sit with him. Delight to be with him. Come and feast with Jesus and find yourself being strengthened and refreshed. God's Spirit is on the move. And with God's Spirit comes transformation. This is it then. Resurrection. I am a flower of Sharon, a lily of the valley. She has rediscovered her identity once more. She is God's beloved. That is what is constant as the seasons come and go. She remembers that season when she lay in her bed in the darkness, when her husband left, when she had to pack up that old house and sell it. She remembers the season when she cried and got angry, when they divided up their assets, filed the papers for divorce. And even though divorce is so common now, there's a part of her that feels like it's wrong, like it wasn't meant to be this way. But sometimes that's the only option you have left. And a new season starts. And she goes through the motions mechanically at first, not really sure if she believes in love or marriage anymore. But in one of those new days, and she's not sure she can pinpoint when, it's like she bumps into God again. And she finds that God's Spirit is there refreshing her, strengthening her. And she rediscovers that she is God's beloved. She tries dating again. Most of the dates end in disaster. She goes for coffee dates with strangers and then makes her escape. And it's okay. It's okay. She's content. But then there is a new lover among the men. His banner over her is love. He proposes to her and she says yes. This is it then, her second wedding. Here she is surrounded by her children as they help her prepare. It is raining outside, but it doesn't matter. There's so much warmth in this house. As they prepare, pink flowers wrapped in ribbon, hair is curled, perfume is sprayed. She didn't think there would be anything after the end. She didn't think anything good would come. But here she is, saying her vows, slipping on her golden ring. The photographer is running around taking pictures as they smile and their friends have come to gather, to feast and to celebrate. Everything tastes delicious. Her lover gets up to speak. He says, "Arise, my darling. Come with me, my beautiful one." It feels like grace. It feels like grace to be here. The winter has passed and the season of singing has come. Doves can be heard cooing across the land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vine spreads its fragrance. I am my love's and he is mine. He browses among the lilies until the break of dawn, until the shadows flee. No winter shall abate this spring's increase. So as you walked in this morning, you would have been given a flower. And I wanted to remind you today that we worship the God who loves us, the God who raises people from the dead, the God who's able to transform. That's the good news that we celebrate week in and week out. But some of us might not be feeling particularly spring-like today. Some of us might be in a time that feels more like winter. Some of us might be struggling in our relationship with God or our relationships with others. Or we might have friends who are struggling. And so I want to give you time now to get into groups and to pray for one another. We've been practicing a little bit of vulnerability up the front, but now's our chance to practice vulnerability in smaller groups and to pray. To pray that we would know God's love and grace continuing to transform our lives, this church, and the world. So let's get into groups and spend time praying with God.